ESPN Radio, 93.5,
95.3. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on Fridays, we welcome political humorist and satirist An Evening with the Presidents.com from Chicago, U of I alum, Bill Melberg.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And greetings, ESPN Radio listeners.
Well, Bill, have you recovered from our election?
Well, Stevie and Diane, you know, we spent about a lot of time, probably about a whole past year talking about the election. And actually, we were talking about it for more than a year. But now the election is behind us, and the holidays are in front of us. In fact, there are just, 38 shopping days left until Christmas.
Yeah.
Just enough time to go out there and buy some Twinkies. And and of course, next week, the Christmas shopping season will officially begin with Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Indeed it will, Bill. And a lot of Santa's helpers, otherwise known as moms and dads, are wondering what kind of toys to buy for their good little girls and boys. And joining us now to talk about the toys that they enjoyed as youngsters is a panel of distinguished Americans, including former Presidents George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Senator John McCain, Congressman Barney Frank, and former Vice President Al Gore. Good morning, gentlemen. Let me begin by asking if you had any favorite toys when you were youngsters. Why don't we begin with you, President Bush?
Well, howdy, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And hello, fellow toy lovers. You know, when I was a youngster growing up in West Texas, I saw an ad on television for the Steve Canyon Jet Fighter Pilot Helmet, just like the kind my comic book hero, Steve Canyon, used to wear. In fact, here's that ad.
Steve Canyon to Control Tower, ready for takeoff.
Hi, did I fool you? Well, no wonder. This is Ideal Steve Canyon Jet Helmet, exactly like Steve's. Made by Ideal for junior jet pilots everywhere. Great for zooming along on your bicycle. It's made of unbreakable Fortiflex. That's right, it'll fit any size head. Here's the official Air Force insignia right up here on top. Here's your sun visor, and here's your oxygen mask. And right inside the oxygen mask, built in, you'll find a speaker so that you'll sound just like Steve on his intercom. Now, if you'd like a jet helmet like Steve Canyon's, remember, only Ideal makes it. Ask for the official Steve Canyon jet helmet, only $2.98.
Stevie and Diane, I told Santa that I just had to have one of those Steve Canyon jet helmets. Because back when I was a kid in West Texas, all I thought about was becoming a jet fighter pilot just like Steve Canyon.
Hey, how old were you at the time?
15. Anyhow, I got my Steve Canyon jet helmet, and just a few years later, when I was 24, I was an Air Force fighter pilot flying F-102 supersonic fighter jets. Of course, they gave me a real jet helmet when I learned how to fly, but that toy helmet helped inspire me to become a real pilot. Stevie, toys can be very educational.
Yes, they can, sir. Thank you, President Bush. Senator McCain, did you have any educational toys when you were a boy?
Yes, I did, Stevie and Diane. Like so many other youngsters over the years, I had an electric train set, and I used to build my own railroads, and I made my own cities and towns, and I pretended that I was running the railroad and keeping the trains running on time. As Johnny Cash used to say,
if anybody loves trains, it's me, Johnny Cash. You know, if your boy's under 10 like mine is, he needs a big Lionel like this Black River Freight. Lionel also makes HO gauge trains for older kids like this Burlington 181. But for smaller hands, the big Lionel is easier to handle and put on the track. This Christmas, get your boy a train that's built for the way young boys play. A big, rugged Lionel. Lionel, the big train for small hands.
Wow. Senator McCain, did you grow up to love railroads because of the toy trains you had as a kid?
No, not really, Stevie. As a matter of fact, I'm one of Amtrak's leading critics in the Senate. Maybe that's because when I was a boy, My electric trains used to derail all the time.
Maybe that's because you're running them too fast around the curves. In any case, let's turn to Arnold Schwarzenegger. How about you, Governator? Did you have any favorite toys as a kid?
Well, you know, Steve and Diane, my father was a policeman. And maybe that's why I enjoyed reading Dick Tracy comics when I was a boy back in Austria.
You read Dick Tracy comics in Austria?
Yeah, it's true, Stevie. Of course, he was called Richard Tracy in German. Anyhow, when Mattel came out with their Dick Tracy, or Richard Tracy Snubnose 38, I just had to have one. And that was the beginning of my becoming an action hero in the movies.
In that case, Governor, I'm sure you'll enjoy this old television commercial for Mattel's Dick Tracy Snubnose 38.
Wait a minute, Dad. I haven't finished Dick Tracy.
You can't read.
Okay, read to me.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, let's see. Tracy's trapped by the crooks. Gee, he's in a real tough spot.
Boy, I'll draw my Dick Tracy Snub Nose 38 and I'll... See that shooting shell, Dad? Fire screen stick'em caps, too.
Well, let's get back.
Then I'll pull back the bolt and I'll blast my way out with Mattel's Dick Tracy Tommy Burst. You can fire a whole burst of caps. Or shoot one at a time.
I thought you wanted to read Dick Tracy.
Not now. I think he's on television.
You can get Mattel's fabulous new Dick Tracy Snubnose 38 pistol and special belt holster. Or the exciting Tommy Burst machine gun for $3 each. They're the only official Dick Tracy guns. And remember, you can tell it's Mattel. It's swell.
Well, speaking of Mattel, they, of course, were the creators of the famous Barbie doll series. President Bill Clinton, are you familiar with Barbie dolls?
I sure am, Stevie. Back when I was a kid in Arkansas, there was a girl who lived down the street from me and another girl who lived just around the corner. They were both named Barbie, and they were both dolls.
That's not the kind of Barbie dolls I had in mind, Mr. President. Congressman Barney Frank, how about you? Are you familiar with Barbie dolls?
Stevie and Diane, I know all about Barbie and Barbie's dream house and Barbie's sports car and Barbie's wardrobe and Barbie's boyfriend, Ken.
Ah, yes, Ken. And here is how Barbie's boyfriend was introduced to the world in 1961.
It all started at the dance. Barbie, the famous teenage fashion model doll by Mattel, felt that this was to be a special night. And then it happened. She met Ken. And somehow she knew that she and Ken would be going together. So now Mattel brings you Ken, Barbie's boyfriend, with a complete wardrobe of perfectly tailored clothes of unmatched quality. Now Ken and Barbie meet for lunch at school, go to fraternity parties, and just relax together. Think of the fun you'll have taking Barbie and Ken on dates, dressing each one just right. You'll find Ken wherever toys are sold. Look for this special tag that tells you he's the genuine Ken. Get both Barbie and Ken and see where the romance will lead. It could lead to this. And remember, you can tell it's Mattel. It's swell.
By the way, Congressman Frank, did you have a Barbie doll when you were a little boy?
Oh, no, Stevie, no. I didn't have a Barbie doll, no. But I had Ken.
On that note, let's turn to former Vice President Al Gore. Hello, sir.
Hello, Stevie and Diane. If you don't mind my just telling you, my favorite Christmas toy might have been your favorite Christmas toy, too.
Really?
Oh, yes. This is how I first started spreading the news about global warming when I was a youngster. Just listen.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and... Testing, testing.
I'm on the radio!
The
these kids are having a fabulous time with Mr. Microphone, the cordless microphone that actually puts your voice on the radio. There are no attaching wires, so you're free to move around. Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Professional entertainers use Mr. Microphone for rehearsing.
I got one.
It. It's practical and great fun for the whole family. And it's only $14.88. Mr. Microphone, buy two or three, they really make great Christmas gifts.
Ah, yes. Mr. Microphone, that toy launched many a career in broadcasting. I'm on the radio.
There you go.
When we come back... when we come back, Bill Malberg will be telling us about some very special memories and three very special people who he spent some time with earlier this week. They all flew to the moon. And two of them walked on the moon. Stay around. Don't go away. ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
What did you do?
Nothing. I stirred the tanks.
Whoa.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite movies of all time, Apollo 13. Fantastic with Tom Hanks in the chair there as Jim Lovell. We're back with political humorist Bill Malberg. Bill, you spent some time with some very special people this week, didn't you? Three genuine American heroes. I love this.
Yes, yes, I did, Stevie and Diane. Three Apollo astronauts were in Chicago this week to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Apollo 17, the last manned mission to the moon, which I had the good fortune of seeing the launch. And
you saw the launch. How far away were you?
I was as close as you could get, 3 miles away.
And did you felt the ground tremble, the whole thing?
It was fantastic. We could feel, actually even felt the heat from the rocket.
Wow, engine. That's so cool.
And I saw the astronauts in their spacesuits on their way to the launch pad that night, and two of those Apollo 17 astronauts, Gene Cernan, who was the commander, and Dr. Harrison Schmitt, who was the first scientist to walk on the moon, were marking the occasion of the 40th anniversary of their mission at a big dinner at the Adler Planetarium on Tuesday night, joined by Apollo 13 commander Jim Lovell.
Wow, and you know all three of these guys, don't you?
Yes, I do. In fact, as I mentioned, I was at the Apollo 17 launch 40 years ago, an incredible experience. One of the things that sticks in my mind, as I just mentioned, was seeing them in their spacesuits heading out to the pad.
Wow.
And it was just all an incredible night. And I should add, I'm co-editor of Harrison Schmitt's website, and Jack Schmitt, as he's known to his friends, invited yours truly and my fellow co-editor, Dr. Ron Wells, to join him at the dinner, as well as for breakfast and lunch the following day. And we had some great opportunities there to talk about America's space program, past, present, and future.
How is the health of these American heroes? How are they doing?
Well, they're in great shape. Oh. Of course, Jim Lovell is now 84.
Wow.
And Gene Cernan is 78, and Jack Schmitt is the youngster at 77. I think now Dr. Schmitt had a really grueling schedule with book signings and multiple presentations, and I think he was had a lot more energy at the end of the day than I did. And I was just following him around.
Well, I mean, it's really, really, it's really incredible stuff to think about what they all accomplished and how much of a leaders they were. I'm sure they lament the dismantling of NASA, don't they? Does that still come up, or are they pretty much over it?
Well, not only were they leaders, but they talked about America's leadership in space and that our space program back during the Apollo era was symbolic of American exceptionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very concerned. They talked about this the other night, that they don't see that sort of American exceptionalism anymore. Some people think, in fact, that's a bad term. And NASA has indeed been sidetracked. Gene Cernan talks about NASA being on a mission to nowhere. And that's why Harrison Schmitt once again put forward his proposal that NASA actually be dismantled, not just as it's being done sort of piecemeal by this administration, but to actually get rid of NASA and replace it with a new National Exploration or Space Exploration Administration, an agency dedicated solely to exploring space and sending humans and robots back to the moon and onto Mars and so on and so forth. And they're very disappointed that 40 years later, they're still the last two people who have walked up the moon.
Yeah, amazing. And again, Jack was the only geologist?
He was the only geologist to go there. And of course, Jim Lovell went to the moon twice. First on Apollo 8, which was the first manned flight around the moon. You might remember when the crew read from the book of Genesis as they orbited the moon on Christmas Eve. That was a tremendous thing. And, of course, Apollo 13 was a very dramatic mission because of the explosion of the spacecraft on the way to the moon. And Jim has quite a few of his artifacts and memorabilia on display at the Adler Planetarium, including his Gemini 12 spacecraft, but also the plaque that was going to be on the foot of the landing leg of the lunar module on Apollo 13.
Just amazing. 40 years ago when you watch that launch, to think 40 years later I'll be at a dinner with these guys. That's crazy.
I never could have imagined it, I'll tell you.
Hey, Bill, appreciate your time and talent. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much.
Ask you wow, wow, Stevie and Diane.
That's Bill Melberg. You can learn more about Bill in an evening with thepresidents.com. We'll be back Monday. Diane, thank you.
Enjoy the weekend.
I'm Stevie J. Thanks for listening. ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.